Now, grab your Bible. Grab your Bible really fast, and I want you to turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Everybody have a Bible, right? If you're a believer in Jesus, our manual is the Word of God, a Bible. And so, if you don't own one, come to us and we'll get you one. We got paperback cowboy Bibles that we'll give you, but we'll get you a Bible some way. It's important that we start bringing our Bibles to church because I want you to be able to see and then go home, hopefully, and look at these scriptures again. Now, I want to read a scripture, and then I'm going to tell you, wherever our internet people are, I'm going to tell you the title of this message. But I want to read this first. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 29. You ready? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. Say amen if you're there. In the King James, it says this, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers." I like it as well. In the Amplified, because it amplifies a lot of the words, where this old cowboy can understand it a little clearer, because it says this, verse 29, Ephesians 4, "Let no foul or polluting language, nor evil word, nor unwholesome or worthless talk ever," I would underline the word ever if you have a pen, "ever come out of your mouth, but only such speech as is good and beneficial to the spiritual progress of others, as is fitting to the need and the occasion, that it may be a blessing and give grace," which is God's favor, "to those who hear it." Now let me tell you the title of this message. If you can't talk the word, just shut up. You may say it again? Anybody watching, listen to me. If you can't talk God's word, just shut up. When God gave me that, I thought, that's cool, God. Because I wonder who would be offended over even the title of a message. If you can't talk the word, you need to be silent. Don't say anything, you see. Because we're fixing to find out in this message that what comes out of this mouth is powerful. Matter of fact, if you want to write it down, in Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 21, it declares death. Wow, that's a tough word right there, right? I just on that one word, I was at the rodeo watching Seth Rope last night at Salado. That's a great cowboy church, by the way, called Heritage Cowboy Church. They have a covered arena just like us. Theirs is finished. And I'm looking around, and they knew I was preacher over here, and so I went in and looked at the sanctuary, and it's a neat place. I really enjoyed seeing it. It's going to be a little bit smaller than ours as far as the length. That's just the way they did it. Praise God. Well, there's a team roper there, and I was beside, and he was in the box just about to rope. He was right before Seth and Hayes, before they were roping, and they jumped out there and was quick, five. And when he backed into the box, I said, "Okay, you're good." I said, "Come on now, get with it." Well, this particular cowboy, not very long ago, less than a year ago, his sister was killed in a car wreck. So when he runs his steer, he comes shooting back to me. And I mean, here he comes. And all I did is I said, "Hey, how is everybody?" because I knew the tragedy that happened, the precious daughter and sister, friend, was killed after taking a professional bull rider to the airport, a national finalist bull rider. It was a tragedy that went across the rodeo because she was a young lady, 21 or so years old, and left the earth. So imagine what the family is going through. So I said, hey, how's the family? He said, not good. Not good. He said, my dad will go out and rope, come in at noon every single day and ball. He said, my mom's handling a little bit better. And I looked at him, and I knew the Lord had already been speaking to me of what to say. And I said, listen to me. And I looked him right in the eye. I said, listen to me. There's a word, grief, that is not from God. Everybody thinks they're supposed to grieve. But that's nowhere found in the Word of God. Because grief is not from God. You know why? Because it keeps you grieving for a long period of time. And I looked at him and I said, listen to me. You've got to tell your family to get over the grief part. Understandable to be sad, but grief is trying to keep you down. And people will be down over losing someone for years and years and years. And I looked at him and I said, you know what your job is? To keep living. She's just living in heaven and we're going to see her again. But y'all can't die here with her because you're still living here. You've got to carry the mantle. You've got to keep living, keep pursuing your God. Because that's the only thing that's going to get you out. So notice it says right here that death, and then it says, and life are in the power of your tongue. In Proverbs chapter 21, verse 23 says, he who guards his mouth and his tongue keeps himself from troubles. Now, let's turn over to the Gospel of Luke. Real fast, and I want to show you some things that will help you understand that if you can't speak the Word of God, then shut up. Be quiet. Be silent. Don't say anything. You may think it, but don't say it. Because listen, the sin is not when you think something bad. The sin is when you begin to say it and it manifests. You see, no, when you think a bad thought, don't say it. You know what the Word says to do? Take the thought captive. Cast it out. In other words, start thinking something else. Start speaking the Word of God. Because the enemy wants you to speak what the world says. The devil wants you to speak fear. He wants you to speak doubt. He wants you to speak unbelief. I'll never forget when we started this church and we bought this land. Some of you might remember because there was just a small little group that came. They're not here anymore, by the way. And they, I was in Las Vegas. I don't know what we're ministering or something. And I'll never forget, they called me, this little group. And they said, we want to meet with you, preacher. And we had just bought this land. We were starting to build. We were in a tent. And they came to me and my wife. And I knew something was wrong about, you know, kind of the attitude and how they were saying it. So I knew it had to do with something about finances. So I said, Jamie, get all the books prepared. I didn't know what they were going to talk about. Boy, they came accusing. They started asking all kinds of questions. We had to dig a big pond, so I knew the church couldn't afford it, so I bought a track loader, 954 track loader, and I bought a dump truck, and we started digging ground. Well, there were people that found out we had good material, and they wanted to buy it, so we started to sell it. And so when they met with me, they started saying things like, "Who owns the track loader?" I said, "You're looking at him." "Me." "Who owns the sound system that we do?" I said, "You're looking at him. I paid for it." "Who owns that dump truck?" I said, "You're still looking at him. Paid $10,000 for it, my own money." "Who owns the dirt?" Well, I said, "Well, the church does, and they get all the money. It's the church property. It's going to this church." And then Jamie brought the books out here. And I mean, they were accusing at the start until they started looking at the books. And I don't even know why I let them, but I did. They didn't see anybody's personal stuff. We don't allow that. But they saw, you know, what came in, what went out. And then at the end of it, they said, "Okay, well, then now we trust you and we can be your armor bearers." Well, as they left, they didn't understand how bad it hurt our feelings. And I'm not moved by my feelings, I can promise you that. But it was upsetting. And after the part of hurting the feelings, then I got mad. Because I understood the power that was in our tongue. I understood the seed that they were trying to do. They were trying to hurt the little old preacher that didn't do things like the churches they had went to. And I can promise you, we don't. I don't pass out bulletins. But guess how many people continue to get saved, healed, delivered, and set free at this church? Anyway, it didn't bother me. I had lots of confidence. I was still, you know, a very sought-after pastor or even a minister. My calendar had been booked 2 years in advance a lot of times to go preach. I turned dozens and dozens and dozens of invitations down because I need to either be here or I'm out there. And then I'm going to do a big revival. And he's been asking me for 3 years to do this this camp meeting or revival in here in Texas somewhere. And I told him after this year, after praying, I said, "Okay, I got peace. I'll be there. I need to be there, and I have ministers that will come here and tend to things right here." But see, that thing, it was hurtful. Listen to me. There's something about the power that tries to come out of a mouth to kill, steal, and destroy. Because the enemy does not want this church to have success. He doesn't want people to get saved. He doesn't want people to get delivered from the bondage that they're under in different areas. But the power of the Word of God is what changes everything. So that's why it's so important. The reason I told that little story is I said, after I'd analyzed it, we talked about it, I went and got counsel from my pastor and two or three other ministers that speak into my life. And all of them told me what to do. So I went to them and I said, "Listen, there was a lot of murmuring." I'd found, you know, you find out a lot of stuff after the fact. They had been gossiping for months and months and months. Murmuring. Well, I'm not going to put up with that. So I told them. I said, "Listen to me. When you got an issue, the Bible says when you have aught with your brother, you go to he and him alone. You're going to talk. You don't go form a posse to try to figure out how to correct that little cowboy preacher. They mess with the wrong guy, actually. Because of the word that I speak, see, I know the power of it." And so when I was saying, "We don't gossip, we don't talk," one of the people said this. They go, "Then what do we say?" And as quick as I could, you know what I said? I said, "Say the word of God. We don't speak a bunch of gossiping junk. We only should speak the word of God or shut up." I know that sounds so harsh, but it's so true that the church needs today. They need a preacher with some boldness that says, "You know what? We don't have to sugarcoat the Word of God. Let's just say it how it is. If you can't speak the Word of God, be silent. Be quiet. Don't say a word. Why? Because you are speaking power. And it's either good, it's either death, or it's life. Now look really fast at Luke's Gospel, chapter 8. Luke's Gospel, chapter 8. And let's just read through some things that Jesus said. All right? Now, everything you'll find out, I've been preaching it for 30 years. Everything, and you've got to remember this and write it down, everything is a seed. Everything, good or bad. But listen to what Luke chapter 8 and verse 5 says. A sower went out to sow his seed. There's that word seed. Remember, it's in red. Jesus is talking. And as he sowed, some fell by the wayside. It was trodden down. The fowls of the air devoured it. Some fell on rock, verse 6. And soon it sprung up, withered away, because it lacked moisture. Some fell on thorns, and the thorns sprung up. With it, choked it out. Some fell on good ground, thank God for this. It sprung up, but it bare fruit 100-fold. Glory be to God. Man, I'd be underlining that. Because good ground is where you need to plant seed, right? And when he said these things, you want me to read that again? When he said these things, when Jesus said, that means he spoke these things, y'all. When he said these things, he cried, "He that has ears to hear, let him hear." That's what he's saying to us today. If you hear the word, how many of you know you can't hear anything without someone speaking it? That's what I'm teaching my kids is, man, it's important not to speak the bad things, but speak God's word. I loved it when Seth came to me the other day and he had missed a couple of steers. Him and his partner Hayes was roping. And I saw him over there and he got ticked off and I just watched, see if he's going to throw a fit and start cussing or whatever that I don't know about. You know how kids are, they start cussing when they're away from dad. I just waited, didn't say anything. I think I might have maybe corrected something in his rope, and I don't even know if I did that. But then I noticed he started catching. I said, "Come on." And he looked at me and he said, "Dad, the reason I started roping good is because I started speaking the word of God. I started saying I can do all things through Christ, which gives me strength." Well, of course, that touched my daddy's heart. I mean, he didn't know it, but that touches my heart because he's actually doing and hearing the word. But check this out right here, though. Verse 9, and his disciples ask him, saying, "What might this parable, what are you talking about? What does this all mean?" is what he's saying. Verse 10, he said, "Unto you it's given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God." Listen to me, look at me real fast. All of us that are born again are in God's kingdom. We're not in the kingdom of the world. We're in God's kingdom. So we do things a tad bit different. We do things like God does them. So he's trying to say, it's unto us to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. But to others, he just delivers it in a parable. Because a lot of people, and I'm okay with that because I'm one of them. I kind of like a parable that seeing they might not see and hearing they might not understand. So this parable is this. You ready? The seed is the word. What's the title of this message again? If you can't speak the word, shut up. Be silent. Don't say a word. Don't say what you're thinking. Because again, as we've said earlier in Proverbs 18, death and life are in the power of your tongue. Now, notice really fast, after it says the seed is the word of God, it says things like, those by the wayside are they that hear. Then comes the devil that takes away the word out of their hearts. So don't let that happen. When you hear God's word, don't let the enemy come in and try to convince you that that's not what it says. No. If it says it, believe it. You see. Lest they should believe and be saved. Verse 13, they say, they that are on the rock are they, which when they hear, they receive the word with joy, but they don't have any root. For a while they believe, but in time, the time of temptation or tribulation or trials, they fall away. I see that constantly. I'll see people fired up for Jesus. I mean, they're fired up for about 6 months. And then tragedy or different things hit them, and it's easy then to go back to the day of Babylon, the day of unbelief, before you gave your life to Jesus. No, those people are the people that they don't have much root. They just hear a few messages, and they don't ever get their old Bible out by themselves and study the Word to show themselves approved. See, there's something about being in the kingdom of God. Not just trying to be a world champion cowboy or cowgirl. No. God says seek first God's kingdom and then He'll give you those things. All right, look, check this out. So verse 13, they that are on the rock, they receive the word with joy, have no root. They believe for a while, the time of temptation, they fall away. And they, verse 14, which fell upon thorns are they which they've heard the word, they go forth and are choked with the cares and riches and pleasures of life. That's why God wants you to be blessed financially. He doesn't want money to control you, because then you worship the riches and the pleasures. No. Worship your God. But then it brings no fruit to perfection. Verse 15, but they that are on good ground are they which in an honest and a good heart, having heard the word, they keep it, and brings forth fruit with patience. Come on. Clap your hands for that. Come on. How many of you know that the seed that comes out of your mouth needs to be the Word of God? Because that's where the good ground is. I don't want someone to say, economy's bad. I'm probably going to go bankrupt if I'm not careful. Well, that's not edifying to my ears. No, I want someone to say, hey, I'm not going to participate in the economy of this world because my God is the provider. I'm the head, not the tail. I'm above and not beneath. I can do all things through Christ, which gives me strength. I'm more than a conqueror because God loves me. I can do it. I'm a winner, not a loser. I'm a believer, not a doubter. Oh, man, if God can be for me, who can be against me? Guess what I'm doing? I'm speaking the word. But a lot of people, they start speaking all the junk. Yeah, but I feel sick. Yeah, but we're not moved by what we feel. We're not moved by what we see, hear, taste, and smell. We're moved only by the Word. So that's why it's very important today to watch what we're saying. What are you saying? And then not just that, but what are you hearing? Are you hearing the right things? What is your kids hearing? Are they hearing a bunch of cussing and fighting? Or are they hearing the Word of God? Because I can promise you at my house, my son's hearing, hey, you can do it. Don't you let your emotions control you. Speak the Word of God. See, if they'll do that, that's when they have victory. And they're not just a old busted, broke, disgusted person that's a victim. No, they're victorious. Now, I'm not saying you don't go through the trials and tribulations. But I'm telling you, if you'll speak the Word of God, only you'll come out on top. You'll be in the blessing. You'll be in the rivers of blessing. You won't be on the bank watching everybody else be blessed, watching everybody else be an overcomer. No. You're going to get right into the river and watch the blessing of God. Now, there still might be an attack of the enemy, but you're going to be so full of faith that you'll speak the Word of God and start saying things like, Satan, get thee behind me. Get back in under my feet in Jesus' name. Cancer, you're just a name and you're not going to be a part of my life. I'm telling you, I told y'all about a month ago, when I take a shower, a lot of times in my mind, I'll start speaking over my body. I'll start saying things like, blood, you're going to flow to where it needs to flow. There won't be any areas where it doesn't flow correctly. Any plaque, anything is broken up in Jesus' name. Every vein, everything that produces blood, every artery flows exactly how you God created it to flow. Then I start speaking to the cells of my body, because the scientists and the medical people tell you that you got good and bad cells. Well, not in a body that's created by Almighty God. You should only have good cells. But things that we eat and things like that could cause some bad. Well, guess what I say? I say every cancer cell, every bad cell that's in this body dies in Jesus' name. And I just begin to speak to my body. From the top of my head to the soles of my feet, my body functions the way God created it to function. I'm the head, not the tail. You see, what I'm doing is I'm speaking the word of God. I'm not speaking, well, you know, my cancer, my arthritis, my this or that. No, that's speaking the word of the opposite of the word of God. If you can't speak the word, shut up. If you can't speak the word, be quiet. Only, even if you think it, don't let it come out of your mouth. Why? Because the devil is the prince of the air. When you speak that junk, the devil gets a hold of it and he says, well, I add my agreement to that cancer that you say you have. And then people with a false humility say, yeah, my cancer, I'm believing God that I'm healed. No, it's not your cancer. It's not supposed to be yours. Jesus died for you. If you can't speak the word, don't speak anything. So my advice today as I close, speak the word. But you're going to have to start figuring out what to speak. But until you know what to speak, don't say anything. If you feel bad and someone says, how are you feeling? I mean, they might think you're crazy, but it don't matter. Unless you say, I feel great. Now, yeah, in your mind, you're saying, your body is saying, oh, no, you don't feel great. You're hurting. But Matthew says, call things that be not as though they were. So, it's not that we're lying. We're just saying the opposite of what we're feeling. Remember, we're not moved by the five physical senses. We're moved by the word. And when you speak the word, how are you feeling? Healed, highly favored of God. Thank you. If you don't want to be a fanatical in their eyes, just say, feel great. And if your mind says, no, you don't, you take that thought captive and keep speaking the word. No, I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus. I'm a head, not the tail. Mark 16 says, lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. I'm healthy and whole in Jesus' name. What's wrong with speaking those things, y'all? Because the world wants us to speak everything different. If you can't speak the word of God, shut up. Okay? Be silent. Don't you let that devil cause you to speak all the junk. You're venting. That's all you're doing. You're venting. No, go and vent to God. If you need to vent, you know how I'd vent? Speak the word. Speak the word. If you can't speak the word, be silent. Don't say anything. Cast the thought out if it's negative and get the word of God into you. If you do that, I'll show you people that will live in victory in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Repeat this prayer with me, everybody in here, even born-again people, say this prayer. Say, Father in heaven, I open the door of my heart. I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is my Lord. I believe that Jesus has been raised from the dead. And the Word of God says in Romans 10 and 9 that if I'll confess Jesus as Lord, and believe that he was raised from the dead, I'll be saved. So I'm saved. I'm born again because I declare, I speak that Jesus is Lord. Lord of my life. In Jesus' name I pray. Now, don't look up just for a second. If you just prayed that prayer for the very first time and you gave your heart to Jesus, you prayed it, you meant it. Now, I'm not talking to people that are already born again. The only reason I had everybody pray it is maybe you were praying it with someone beside you, in front of you, behind you. Or you need to learn the prayer to lead others to Jesus. No, I'm actually talking to anyone that is watching or anybody that is in this sanctuary that had never prayed that prayer before. You didn't know what would happen to you if you left this earth and died. You don't know if you'd go to heaven or hell, but you just prayed that prayer. I'm here to tell you, you're going to go to heaven. You're going to bust heaven wide open. But here's the deal, is it's time to confess Him before men so that Jesus can confess you before the Father. So if you're here today and you just prayed that prayer for the very first time, you just asked Jesus to be the Lord of your life. You didn't know what would happen to you if you died, if you'd go to heaven or hell, but you just prayed that prayer and you meant it, and Jesus is now your Lord. I want you to raise your hand when I count to three. I want you to do it with boldness. If you just prayed that prayer and you meant it, and you gave your heart to Jesus, then don't be ashamed to get that hand up and say, Jesus, I just prayed that prayer, and now you're my Lord. And then put it right back down when I say one, two, three. You ready? If that's you, get that hand up. One, two, three, go. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. All the way at the back. Thank you, I'm very proud of you. We'll get you all the way at the back, we'll get you. Thank you, guys. When you get a Bible, you can put your hand down. Glory be to God. I'm telling you. All right, look at me, everybody. Did everybody get a Bible? That raise your hand? If you didn't, just yell. I mean, we're not ashamed. But if you got a Bible, now you're my brother or sister in Christ. You have a family of God. Your immediate family is very important. They're blood. But now you've got a family of God that when you're hurting, you got a bunch of people that pray for you. Not condemn you, not beat you up because you did something wrong. No, we're brothers and sisters. We build people up. Why? Because we speak the word. If not, be quiet. Shh. Say nothing. We're family. When I'm hurting, though, I need you. You probably won't ever see me hurting, though. I'll tell my wife. I'm going to speak the word, though. Amen. I can't tell you how excited I am that people get saved every single Sunday at this church. It's amazing. Thank you. Well, did y'all have a good time? Let's speak the word. Amen. I'm amazed that it's 11:59. But I'm gonna go win roping. Amen.